I'll give you some evangelism hint for next Wednesday. Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day? Yes? Right. Wear something green. On the train, at the uni, at work, wear something green. The greener it is, the more someone will come to you and say, "Ah, St. Patrick's Day." To which you can then say, "Do you know anything about St. Patrick?" And then you can say, "I've just got a little leaflet that tells you about St. Patrick. Here it is." Only trouble is, you don't have the leaflet. Sophie's gone to print it off for you. You can print it off yourself. It's in philipjensen.com. In fact, I think it's on the front page of philipjensen.com at the moment. You can also track it down through Two Ways Ministries' Facebook page if you go searching for it there. But we'll give you one copy, because you'll all try next Wednesday. And there's all kinds of people who'll talk about St. Patrick. See, one third of Australians come from a Roman Catholic background. So that's a lot. That's the biggest one single group that we're ever going to evangelise is Roman Catholics. There's more Protestants than Catholics in Australia, but one third of Australians are Roman Catholics. It's gone off here, right? So I'll get it back on. Technological genius. There'll be all kinds of old Catholic people who say, "Oh, St. Patrick," you know, and they'll all laugh because they think St. Patrick means getting drunk. Right? It means a big party. It means, you know, it's when Chicago turns the river green. Literally. The Chicago people are really extraordinary. That they actually got their river to turn around the opposite direction. It used to flow into a lake, now flows out of the lake. Or the other way around, I can't remember which one it is. But, you know, a city that turns its river around the other way is a city with pizzazz. And there's a lot of Catholics in Chicago, and so they're all... St. Patrick is just, you know, it's huge. It's pretty big in Sydney too, actually. You don't live in that world. But wear something green, and I'll be surprised if you don't give away your leaflet by the end of the day. Right? It just is... It's an easy form. And the leaflet explains the gospel and tells them about St. Patrick. And gives his word as to what he actually was about. And remember, he wasn't a Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholics didn't come to England until 150 years after he was dead. He was a member of the Celtic Church. The Roman Catholics own him, but he wasn't a Roman Catholic any more than he was Irish. He actually came from, as you said, Britain, possibly Wales, but Wales didn't exist in those days, or Britain didn't exist, or I won't go into that history, but it was that side of Britain that he came from. So he wasn't Irish, he wasn't Roman Catholic, but he was converted and was Christian, and he's our friend. And I'm sure he'd want us to evangelise Australia. So, that's not what I'm on about now. What am I on about now? Where's my notes? And I haven't got as good an accent as... Anyway. Okay. Last time we saw about proclamation, and we said, what is a gospel, remember? And any gospel. Gospel, the word just means a proclamation of great news, which by its greatness carries significance for the hearers. Terrifically important news. Take, for example, the gospel that came to the airline industry today. The government is going to pay half the airfare for anyone who wants to fly to these destinations. That was great news for anybody in the airline industry, wasn't it? I mean, there's great news. It has huge implications for their future. Mind you, if you're not a tourist and you're not in the airline industry, it was a bit of a bore. But you'll pay for it, so it's not that... Anyway, great news can be bad for some people. There is what it's about. It's about... Yeah. Now, I want to ask you some questions about this great news of the gospel, though, that we've seen in Two Ways to Live. So, are you ready for a quick discussion? These are deep discussions, but here we go. Three questions. What is the relationship between social action and evangelism? What is the relationship between miracles and evangelism? And apologetics in evangelism. What's the relationship? What's God's word? Psalm 33. Verse 6, you need. So, number 2, Isaiah 40.
It's lasting.
Lasts forever, yes? 3? It achieves whatever purpose for which God has. That's Isaiah 55, yes?
For our instruction.
It's for our instruction. Oh, there's more to it in chapter 10 than that, isn't it?
It's a spiritual food and drink. So
yeah, that's a strange bit there, isn't it? Yes.
We have to live on God's word alone.
Think further, I'll come back to you. What's this one?
It bears fruit.
It bears fruit, yes, all right? And grows. It doesn't grow and bear fruit, it bears fruit and then grows. That's strange. What are we on? 1 Thessalonians, that's 1 Thessalonians. Oh, please, yes. What's God's word?
It's working through God's people.
Yeah, it works within us, that's right, yeah? And it's also speeding on and triumphing in the second verse that you should have looked at. That right? It's conquering, yes? What do we get here?
It's his voice.
Which verse is this? This is
Hebrews
3. 3. Yeah, it's his God's voice.
God's voice, and it demands a response. And we're not supposed to harden our hearts. That's the bad response.
Yeah. That's a bad response, yes. And when is God's word about?
His ways.
The when. Right, are we going over Hebrews 4?
Verse 12, it's alive. God's word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and judges our thoughts and attitudes.
Yeah, the word of God is alive and active. You'll notice how it shifts in that verse from dealing with the word of God to dealing with God. As you deal with the word of God, so you deal with God. What are we on here? We're on this group, aren't we? In Hebrews, no? Colossians.
No,
what do you find out about Colossians?
It's a word of truth.
Word of truth? Good. Okay, and what did you find here? In 1 Peter, what did you find?
Verse 12, things in which angels long to look, and 25, that it remains forever.
It remains forever, yes. That's group 11. Yeah. Where's group 9? I've lost you. Ah, no wonder. Huh? I'm sorry, the important one that's here, yes. Pardon my ignoring of you. What did you discover? Nothing?
It's living and enduring.
It's living and enduring, yes, because they're quoting Isaiah 40. Now, which group did I give a puzzle to keep going? This one in 1 Corinthians. What more did you find out about it?
Can't figure it out.
No, that's not about the Word of God. It's very clear.
You know? Understanding.
It's understanding. Your original comment was it's written
for our instruction.
That's a good comment. But what was written for our instruction? What happened in the past happened for us, not for them. So it wasn't written for the Jews, it was written for the Christians. 1 Corinthians 10. So that fits into the idea in Hebrews. See, when is the... Which one did I ask when?
Oh, yeah, that was us.
What's the answer?
Today,
that's right. The Bible is always the word for today. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today. Because it might be about the old, but you see, it's living and active, as we have up in Hebrews. Because it's living and active, even though it's about the past, it's about today. In fact, the past was only there for the sake of today. As the Word of God is living, active. Now, I gave you this great illustration of it last week, did I not? No? But it's not dead. It's not a dead letter that we're dealing with. It's a living Word that, 1 Thessalonians, is at work within us, right? And is growing across the world. And Colossians chapter 1, it's bearing fruit and growing. Right? The telephone directory doesn't bear fruit and grow. In fact, with more mobile phones, it's shrinking all the time. But this is a word that is living and active and dynamic. It is the living gospel that we have. So, there we go on this important issue. But the living gospel is actually not just for us, it's for the world. So, I think we need a 2-minute break at this stage, and then we're going to come back and hear about the gospel for the world. But we'll have a 2-minute stand up and break. You do need to stand, otherwise you'll get yourself falling asleep and finding it difficult, then this is a good opportunity to do a quick dash to the toilet. But we're talking 2 minutes because we're running so late tonight. Well done. Complicated passage to read, isn't it? But you see, the curse that Jesus took for us was done so that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to the Gentiles. The word Gentiles is the word nations. Same word, right? Don't know why we translate it Gentiles, actually, because it's not an English word, is it? It's nations, right? And so that the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations, Jesus dies on the cross. Number two group, Psalm 22, wonderful psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? The one that Jesus was thinking about as he died. What's verses 25 to 31 say? That God is the Lord of all the nations, and this death, which is being described in Psalm 22, is for all the nations. And notice it's also for the nations of the future, that's us. Right? We're in verse 31. You want to know where Australia is? Verse 31. To a people yet unborn. It's a fascinating point that Phil brought out for us earlier. Number four, Psalm 98. How are we going? Good on you, brother. I mean, the salvation that is being won is going to be in sight of all the nations, right? Number four, Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 4. Where's Isaiah 2, 1 to 4? Thank you. Right, so the last times, you see, Jerusalem is going to be lifted up. All the other mountains flattened out. It's going to be lifted up. And what's at the top of the mountain? The temple. So the place where you meet God, the temple, is going to be where all the nations are going to gather. They're going to go like rivers up. Rivers generally go down, but they're going to go up like rivers. Up to now, there is no temple now because the Lord Jesus Christ is the temple. Right? The temple was destroyed, because we don't need that temple because we've got the true and living temple in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the nations are to go to it. The Micah reference in verses 4, 1 to 5 is almost word for word, so we won't keep reading on that one. We'll go across to Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9, one of the first of the suffering servant songs.
Yes. Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
See, before it's happening, Isaiah, God, through Isaiah, was saying what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is a servant who will bring light to the nations, who will bring justice to the nations. The Lord Jesus Christ brings to all the world the truth of God and changes the hearts and directions. But the suffering servant is also in chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Where are we going there, please? Yes.
Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, in his quiver he hid me away, and he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity, yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserve of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord.
See it? There is enough, isn't it? right? The servant doesn't come just for the nation Israel. That's too small a thing. It's for all the world. Go across to chapter 52, verse 13. Thank you, reading really well. 52, verse 13. And I've got to chop you off as well. 53 is the great passage, right? We've got it twice in two ways to live. All we like sheep have got astray. No, barbars. And we've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. It's the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. But notice the introduction to it in 52, verses 13 to 15. Thank you. Right, the kings of the world, the nations of the world, are going to be staggered by this servant. Of course, that's what has happened. You know, hundreds of years later, a returning slave who had been converted was able to silence the peoples of Ireland with the news of the suffering servant of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for their sins. Nations have come to where he's going, up to chapter 56, 56, 1 to 8, 56 of Isaiah still. Where are we up to? Who's this? Yes, good, thank you. So he's gather in into his kingdom the eunuchs, the lame, the poor, but he's also going to gather in the nations. They too will come in. The foreigners will come in. And don't any foreigner say, hey, I won't be acceptable because I'm a foreigner. No, you will be acceptable, he is saying. And we're heading up to Malachi 1, 11 to 14. A little bit more difficult, but hey, Winnie's going to read it, so it can't be all bad.
For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations.
There you go. From the rising of the sun to the setting. I don't know if you know about east and west, but east and west is not like north and south. If you go north, eventually you'll be going south. But if you go east, you're always going east. If you go west, you'll always go. You'll never reach the end on east or west. As long as you keep going, never mind. It's got to do with latitude and longitude and how you draw them. And yeah, I so rarely get an opportunity to show my geographical knowledge. But the east and west, it's a way of saying as far away as you can get, these ones, right, will be acceptable. And Zechariah 8, 20 to 23. Zechariah 8, 20 to 23. Throughout the New Testament, as Paul preaches the gospel, he keeps saying the gospel goes to the Jew first and also to the nations. Right? We come into salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the one true Jew. We are saved through the Jew. There's no way Christians can ever be anti-Semitic. Our God is Jewish. You know, I mean, he's still the man. Jesus is still Jewish. He doesn't cease to be Jewish. He doesn't cease to be a man because he's risen from the dead. The anti-Semitism is the antithesis of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because we're saved through the Jews. And there it is, but the nations will come. That's the problem. Now, look, I've just scattered down pretty quickly off the top of my head a bunch of references, right? The Old Testament is full of the nations coming in, but the Jews never expected it. They read their Old Testament always that it was about them and them only. And it was horrified to find that when the gospel came, some Jews were out of the kingdom and the nations were brought in. But it was always God's plan to do that. Phil, read for us Luke chapter 24. And just get there about what, verse 45, 46, 47?
These are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance or the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.
There you go. Hear that? What Jesus did, dying and rising, was always the purpose of God, that it would be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Because it comes from the Jews, you see, beginning from Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth and for the years ahead. That passage, Luke 24, 44 to the end of that chapter, one of the most important little bits of the Bible to know to tie the whole Bible together. And critical in that is world evangelism. Okay, So, the importance of seeing this, that's what it's about. I want you to go to cms.org.au on your phones. cms.org.au. CMS stands for the Church Missionary Society. It's the missionary society that I support. I'd encourage you to support. There are other good missionary societies. This is just the best one, that's all. No, I can't say that. I'm not allowed. That's politically incorrect. True, but politically incorrect. So, you go to cms.org. This is terrifying for me because I've got big fat fingers and I can't get anything right here. And then when you get there, I want you to look at a couple of things. .org.au. Okay. Up at the top left-hand corner, you should see a kind of little crown, not as neat as the Two Ways Live crown, but that little crown with a drop-down. Touch that one and see the drop-down. You've got about five things there. Go to what we do. It's got a further drop down, hasn't it? It tells you about its vision and distinctives. I'll tell you what that's about. The vision of the Church Missionary Society is to reach gospel poor peoples, not poor peoples, gospel poor peoples for Christ, to equip Christian leaders for church and society, to engage churches in cross-cultural mission. And their distinctives are to be Bible-based, gospel priority, long-term focus, and in-depth training. That's what CMS is about. It's a really good missionary society. But that's not what I want you to do now. What I want you to do is go to the next one, where we work. Touch that one, where we work. I'm going slower here. Where we work. And in it, when it comes up, if it ever does on mine, does it come up at yours? Anybody else having slow troubles like I am? Sorry? Oh, here we go. Under where we work, you'll see Africa. But if you scroll a bit further, you'll see East Asia, then you'll see Europe, then you'll see Latin America, then you'll see Middle East, South. Now, we're going to pray for a little while. So, here we go, Africa. What's the second one? East Asia is over there. Europe is up the back there. Where are we going down here? Latin America is over here. Scroll down the Middle East and South Central Asia. North Australia and the South Pacific. Southeast Asia is over there. And then you rest of it can choose whichever you like. However, what you've got to do then is in your group, do you want me to tell you which group to do? Africa, Southeast Asia over there, Australia and North Australia, the Pacific. Anyone not know which group to do? Where would you like to do? I'll take you for a trip wherever it is. You can go to Middle East, South, Central, right? Now, under each of those, you'll see the different countries they're working in. Each one in your group, click on one, right? Just spread it amongst yourselves. Click on one. It'll give you a couple of paragraphs about that country and its spiritual needs. Read it, and then we'll have a prayer time in your group going around the group praying for those nations. Right? So here is, we want the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. The Lord Jesus died so the gospel would come to the end of the earth. God wants to bless the nations with the gospel. We're going to pray for him to do that very thing now. Right? Or pick your nation. Anyone in doubt? Anyone's phone not working better than mine? Okay, where you go. When you finish the prayer time, we'll do a quick Q&A.